Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're now joined by former Pitt All-American NFL tight end Doran Dickerson, brought to you by ServiceMaster. Black and gold fans demand the yellow van. Call ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. So I've got a couple of stories here that make me really appreciate even more, guys, the Steelers addition by subtraction decision.
Okay.
Both this offseason and the way that they've tried to rid themselves of things that would create distractions or foster some kind of division within the team. And we've got two things. No commercial break here. We're just going to take it through to 3:15. A couple of things that I think really make that even more evident this afternoon as the Steelers get ready to play the Cardinals at 7-5. The first one is, let's go to Chris's, by the way, Doran, his former favorite team. He divorced the Browns this week. He ripped up his Browns fan card.
Mm-hmm. We got the marriage and all.
Mm-hmm.
I threw myself at the mercy of the NFL gods. I said, please do not recognize that this unholy union ever took place.
I could see that coming. I mean, doing the shows with you on Sundays.
You could feel.
I could feel it.
The confidence eroding.
Yes.
You don't think he's going to go crawling back, begging back to the Browns if they make a big coaching change this offseason?
Maybe next year. But I mean,
no, he's saying it's permanent. He's saying it's done.
He's going back. He's going back at some point. And you know what? I haven't seen you since Sunday. Remember you said I love being right when we were predicting the game?
And who did he go with?
Cleveland.
And who did you go with?
The Steelers.
Like I said, I love being right, which is why I'm not in a very good mood right now.
Was there an argument on the air?
No, 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 no. He was
it was a little bit chippy.
Doran was incredulous, though, that I was giving the Steelers so little chance.
Let me ask you this,
Doran. Was incredulous that Doran was so confident.
Did you leave that show rooting even harder for the Steelers because you just wanted a chance to rub it back in Chris's face?
Yes. I was subtweeting.
I know that feeling with you.
Subtweeted me. Yeah. Well, no, you didn't subtweet me because you made sure I saw. Yeah, you made sure
what
I saw a tweet.
I was like, I love being right.
Yeah, he just sent yeah, and then he sent the thinking guy emoji, which enrages me. That stupid one of the guys, the emojis looking up to the ceiling.
Oh, I know, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Because that thinking emoji in that context means way to go, jackass.
I like monocle emoji and I like thinking emoji. Those are the two.
Monocle emoji is basically a double middle finger to whoever you're sending it to.
All right, so I said we got a Cleveland entry point into this conversation.
Yep.
Odell Beckham Jr., talking about another quiet game against the Steelers. He had three catches for 29 yards. They're out of it. That whole move, that blockbuster trade, is not going to deliver the playoffs to Cleveland like many expected, you included, Chris. So here is Beckham now dealing with the aftermath of that with the rabid, very difficult to deal with Cleveland media today.
There's a bunch of games that coulda, shoulda, woulda, which is what we said all along. We didn't want to have that season of the coulda, shoulda, woulda, but, you know, here we are now today. And I think for me personally, I've taken a lot of L's this year, a lot of lessons and growth and growing pains that will be able to be taken and carried on. So I couldn't tell you what's going to happen. I mean, I'm here. My locker is right next side to, you know, one of the men who means the most to me in the world. And I think about just being able to come to work and see him every single day and how special this could be. So I couldn't sit here and tell you whether I'm going to be here, want to be here, don't want to be here. This is exactly where I'm at now, and I wouldn't rather be anywhere else.
All right, that's distraction number one, Odell Beckham Jr.
Wait, what about that's distracting?
Hold on.
Just the very last part?
Hold on.
Tell me what's distracting about it.
The fact that he left the door open, that he might not want to be there, and he doesn't know about his future.
But the rest of it was fairly, like,
sure,
straightforward.
Yeah, I agree.
Soul-searching, but I thought honest, and certainly not, like, incendiary.
Okay, but
the
last part of it, like, not, like, wavering and waffling on who he wants to play for is obviously going to create a distraction.
If Freddie Kitchens was your head coach, would you want to play there?
I thought that was a very professional interview.
Yeah, so did I.
There's no distractions.
Yeah, I think you're
really
zero.
You're shaking trees here, trying to get something to fall out of the branches, and it's not.
Well, it might not with you guys, but I've already seen the reaction to it the last few hours on social media and on the talk show circuit.
Twitter's the bathroom stall of the internet. So why are we taking Twitter reaction as gospel?
So is ESPN, and you just got over the fact, Good Morning Football, after they talked about the Cowboys losing, this was their second story today.
They're trying to reach. They're reaching.
You just got over talking about how much you loved that show, Chris.
I know.
Now you're calling that the bathroom stall of television?
Nope. Called the Twitter the bathroom stall of the internet. Didn't cast any aspersions.
Well, then why are they talking about the bathroom stall of the internet if it's so stupid?
Well, he said those comments in real life, not on Twitter. They're talking about it because he's a huge-name player, and it's relevant info.
There you go. The fact that he didn't say, I love being here and want to be here, and I have a contract beyond this year with the Browns, is going to make people think that he's going to leverage for a trade this offseason.
Why would he say he loves being there whenever they're losing? Nobody wants to lose. I mean, it sucks there right now. It really does. I mean, I'm not going to say that I love being somewhere if we're losing, not going to make the playoffs. I'm going to be like, listen, this is the NFL. I'm a free agent after the season. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, if he said I love being there, people would say, clearly Odell Beckham got his money and doesn't want to win. He's happy being with a bunch of losers. Yep. That's what the narrative would be.
All right. Wow. I was not expecting you guys to take up the Odell Beckham
Jr. We're free thinkers. We don't just fall in line
brigade.
Based on...
Well, from what he used to be like, I mean, I feel like that was very mature.
If that's on the Antonio Brown scale of distraction, not a distraction, it doesn't even register.
I mean, when Ben Roethlisberger said, I don't know if I want to play, it was a gigantic story. So when Odell says, I don't know if I want to be here, I would think that's a huge story, seeing that he's under contract.
Ben said that after, what, a 13-3 season?
Yeah.
So that makes...
No,
yeah, it was.
No,
because then they drafted Mason before last year, and he didn't make the team.
No, it was the year before that. It was after the 10-6 year.
Okay, so 10-6,
an AFC championship.
Yeah. That's more of a distraction. Odell's team's not going to make the playoffs.
Guys, I'm not saying that what Ben did was less of a distraction. I am saying now what Odell said will absolutely, other reporters will take that to other players in the Browns locker room and ask them about Odell Beckham Jr., and Freddie Kitchens will get asked about Odell Beckham Jr. and how happy he is there and whether they're going to keep him, and that is going to turn itself into a story in Cleveland.
You really think that that'll get that far? 100%.
It already is. Like, it's already on ESPN and social media and everywhere today. Like, it's not me that just happened to trip and fall into an Odell Beckham Jr. quote this afternoon. That's getting played everywhere today.
Wait, is he a free agent after the season?
No.
Okay.
That's kind of a major detail, is it not?
Okay.
Right. So that was one. That was distraction one, in my opinion. Here's two. Jerry Jones on his own show on The Fan in Dallas today with hosts on that station.
Cowboys fans want answers today. What answer do you have for how this team is playing right now?
We're not playing very well.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together, yourself. Okay? Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
Is there any part of you that gets tired of hearing the questions about Garrett's job security, and do you understand why those questions keep coming up?
Of course I understand why they come up.
Can't
do you. Do you understand?
Yeah.
we just had to drop that twice, so.
They had to hang up on Jerry Jones because he said BS twice on the air today.
Wow.
Okay. So what?
We're going to have a nice visit here today.
Before we got into our Odell Beckham Jr. debate, this was the point. You got the Browns at 5-7 who have dealt with the distractions, and maybe the Odell thing on the list of their distractions is way down there in your guys' opinion. Apparently it is, but they're dealing with little things every week. The Cowboys, another team, 3-0, tons of talent on the offensive side of the ball. Now they're 5-7. They're getting questions about their coach's future. Prescott's 6-7. Prescott's contract, the whole nine. And so my point is, two examples there of maybe the fact that we on the outside overvalue talent, or at the very least we have a misconception about what talent is. That those are teams that get picked that are sexy teams this year, Browns and Cowboys, that don't meet expectations. The Steelers jettison Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. Ben gets hurt, and they are in a much better spot than both of those teams.
I think to say that that talent's overrated is to completely ignore the fact that the Steelers have basically a defense filled with entirely first or second round picks, almost exclusively.
Did we think that it was a talented defense, though? I don't know, back in September?
No.
And okay.
We've been proven wrong in that kind of area. I think the two examples you happen to bring up, Cleveland coached by Freddie Kitchens, Dallas coached by Jason Garrett, all that, those two clips and everything that's happened there really drives home to me is Mike Tomlin has just done an unbelievable job.
So coaching talent is big then.
Huge.
Is the point.
Yeah.
Huge.
And Mike Tomlin's always been good at that.
And I feel that with Jerry Jones, he's invested a lot into Jason Garrett. I mean, even as a player, when Jason Garrett was playing, I mean, he's invested and he's very frustrated right now that he has to make a move to somebody that he cares probably a lot about. I mean, he should have made this move a long time ago.
So coaching, would you rather have a great coach or a great roster?
A great coach.
Really?
Great coaches can assemble guys and get guys to play at a high level. Doesn't matter the talent level. If you're a great coach, you can get guys playing.
I was going to say, like, as much as I hate the constant Belichick worship from you just at the expense of Touchdown Tom, Belichick doesn't assemble the most talented roster. He assembles one that he knows is going to win because he can basically motivate through fear and get a bunch
because
of players
I'll tell
to
you
just
what.
Do their job. Oh, you don't do your job? Cut. Bye.
And I mean this, and you guys might both freak out on me. If you swap Freddie Kitchens and Bill Belichick, I think the Browns are 10-2, and I think the Patriots, even with Brady, have a losing record. I think they're missing the playoffs, and it's not even close.
Land just a little bit.
I think this Patriots team without Belichick.
That's more a commentary, I think, on how bad of a head coach Freddie Kitchens is than anything about.
But
Tom Brady.
Not saving those Patriots. He's not.
Brady's still making on-target throws, though.
I don't care what he's
still highly graded. They have a bunch of chumps out there, so unless Freddie Kitchens is going to be able to, or unless Bill Belichick's magically like catching the football for them. Belichick being the defensive coordinator is what has saved them this year.
But we're also
he's running the defense in a very shrewd
way.
But we're also.
I tried to use those clips to underscore this point. When you have distractions going on, it is harder to meet your expectations. So the Steelers had Mike Tomlin, this great coach, the last few years, but had a ton of distractions, and it kept them from getting to their goals or their expectations, right?
Is Odell the distraction in Cleveland, or is Freddie? You know what I mean? Like, it's a chicken and the egg. If they had beaten the Steelers,
but they didn't,
they'd
Chris.
Be 6-6,
but
and it wouldn't. Okay, but is that Odell's fault?
He's part of it.
What you're talking about, though, is the effect, not the cause. The cause is Freddie Kitchens being a crap coach.
It's
and
not
figuring out a way to get Odell the ball.
Like, think about what Odell Beckham could have said in the interview after having a game he did,
he could have
catches?
Torn them
torn
up.
Them up yes.
He could have said, we would be 8-4 if they just throw me the damn ball.
I think you're
ball.
Missing my point. I'm not just blaming Odell Beckham Jr. I'm saying it's episode after episode in Cleveland this year. It's the way Mayfield's acted sometimes. It's the Garrett thing. It's Kitchens wearing a T-shirt. It's every week they're a major story. We know that that's draining on a team. I think it is. We have proof last year that it had a damaging effect and it was draining on a team.
So to what do you attribute the Steelers surmounting Garrett accusing Rudolph of using a racial slur? Then, because that's it could have been a huge distraction, so why wasn't it?
Were the Steelers the team that was being, like, castigated?
No,
and, like,
but once,
looked at as
once
the
Garrett
undisciplined?
Threw that out there, you knew that was going to become a major thing, and at least in some corners it was going to be questioned. I know I did, just because of the NFL, not, quote, you know, we don't have the audio. You knew that it was going to become another part of the news cycle, and it didn't really seem to affect Rudolph or the Steelers much. I mean, Rudolph was just playing poorly
because
anyway.
It was another thing that gave that team in particular a reason to rally the troops and galvanize. They lost Marquise Pouncey, who they have a ton of respect for. Somebody went into the lineup who they always win with in Finney. It wasn't something that, like, ripped the team apart. It wasn't something that, like, drained the team. That's the difference to me.
Like, if you don't want distractions, don't make them. I mean, the Browns made distractions before the season started. They created this monster right here, what's going on. You said week after week, you hear them in the news and talking about, you know, all the distractions that's happening. They created this in the offseason.
How many days have we had this year where we've had because of, like, something a player or a coach said or something that went on off the field or even on the field? How many days have we had something where it's like, oh, my God, this is such a massive tabloid Steelers story that we have to talk about it? Maybe, like, we can count it on one hand. Last year, it was every day. It was every day last year. And I do think that that is a difference. I absolutely think that that has to be a weight off their shoulders, a gorilla off their back. And you played in the NFL, Doran, you're shaking your head. Yes.
Yes. Yes, distractions are horrible. I mean, and you look at it, even Mike Tomlin, the way he just approaches his interviews on Tuesdays, I mean, it's just different because he knows he doesn't have to have that weight, like you said, on his shoulders. Even with Ben being out, you know, that all that different, you know, dynamics that were going on last year and the year before that, he doesn't have to deal with that. He can actually just go out there and coach.
I do think Ben being out and not saying anything is a part of this, and people don't want to, you know, I've got the Ben stans who will now come for me on Twitter and tell me I'm mean, but it's part of it. But it's not a provable statement by you, Pony. I could say I don't really buy that it matters. And they could finish 9-7 this year and be in the playoffs, and that'd be a half game worse than they were last year because they went 9-6-1.
Give me a tabloid NFL team that's had distraction after distraction this year that's winning and, you know, in overcoming that.
I don't think there have been many tabloid kind of things. I mean, the Patriots surmounted the Antonio Brown tabloid.
There's a good one.
The Raiders aren't out of the playoffs. If they beat the Titans this week, they're still absolutely in it, and they were in
hell. Well, the Raiders eliminated a distraction before the season started.
I know, but they still had to deal with it.
Not once the season started.
What about Green Bay? Green Bay was a big distraction with Aaron Rodgers and the new coach.
That was before the season.
That was in training camp.
Okay.
I mean, that was a big story with them not getting along.
But I can't think of another Packer story that's popped up since. Like where Rodgers has taken a passive-aggressive shot at
the Vikings had Thielen and Diggs going after Cousins. They're 8-4.
Yeah, but I don't feel like it's every day with those guys.
Okay, but that was a distraction.
Sure. A small one. Like, that's a molehill compared to the mountains the Steelers dealt with last year.
You asked for examples.
I know. Doran was in the locker room. He says chemistry counts, Chris.
I'm going to cede to Doran on this one. I just wanted to make sure you knew that I thought you were being unfair to Odell.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.